Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
What is up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? We got another week here, a little Thanksgiving treat for everybody. We're talking the Thanksgiving classic, Pauly Shore's best film, Son-in-Law! Let's just make sure we all know. He's a relative nightmare. And my favorite thing about this is on the back it says, crawls unlike anything the Midwesterners have ever seen before. Outside the barn, that is. But before long, crawls plowing his way into their hearts. It's not every day that
it's a great movie.
It says a lot more than that. But I like that Crawl plows his way into their hearts. And plowing their way into my hearts today are my two extra special guests. Josh McCuga couldn't be here today, but he is replaced by my lovely wife, Renee Dorian Begley, over here,
who you've
seen in The Funhouse Massacre if you were a good fan and went out and to support it. She's also done a ton of Nickelodeon voiceover. She's been on Black-ish, on The Young and the Restless.
Oh, jeez. Okay, tough enough.
To her left is Lee Parker, who you've seen him on Castle, The Funhouse Massacre, in Wild, the Academy Award-winning film, and he's just one Damn Sexy Australian. So, welcome,
Lee. That's
amazing. Yeah, you're on People. It's on your...
It's Sexiest Australian Alive on the People Australia.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
I don't think they even have a People Australia.
Do they?
Isn't it just people?
I think it's just people, yeah.
Just people.
Yeah.
They don't discriminate via country.
No, like, we know what we are. It's all good.
We know we're sexy here. We don't have to.
Welcome to the show, guys. How are you feeling?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, welcome back. Renee was a big hit last time. People were very nice.
A big hit? Well, thank you.
When we were periscoping, everybody...
I don't know. Someone said I had a weird voice, so...
That's
ready
why you do
for
so much
weird
animation.
Voice round two.
Weird voice round two. We did the. Did we do the your voices last time? Did we have?
I just did it. I don't know. I talked like a little boy. That was for a second. It was weird.
You did that in Ohio. You did that voice.
I just talk like little boys sometimes. It's kind of my thing.
She busted out the strangest times.
Guys, you want to hear a little boy voice? Here you go.
That's how she won me over. Hey, you want? And that sounds real.
I see
weird.
You at the bar over there.
That sounds real weird, Lee. So we met on the Funhouse Massacre shoot.
Actually, in the casting office.
In the casting office.
The casting couch, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, another inappropriate. Joke.
Yep.
Much like the little boy one you just told.
We made an inappropriate joke about Carrie.
Yeah, that's right.
And saying how hot Carrie is from the movie Carrie. And then we cleared up to the director that we were talking about Sissy Spacek's version where she was like 30 at the time.
Right, not the...
Not Chloe Grace Moretz,
who was 16.
Right.
Oh.
No creepiness here, even though we started...
That's how you bonded and that's how you got the job, huh?
I think that's it. I think that's what it was.
So, Lee, we dragged you out to Middletown to shoot the Funhouse Massacre.
Yes, indeed.
Which, in case you... if you're still around Los Angeles, it is playing tonight at City Walk for the final night.
Go see it.
The final night tonight.
If you haven't seen it, if you're so far away, like on the west side, and you just can't get in the car and drive that 30 minutes. Sorry, I had to say it.
We've had friends that have, in other states, who have driven 3 hours to go see it.
So far.
From Kansas, my friend Casey Moran drove from Omaha to Kansas City.
Wow.
My buddy Corey Curtis and Byron.
Are we doing name shows?
I'm just going to keep dropping.
He's going to drop names.
And Frank, they all drove to Columbus.
Just keep the whole show.
It's going to be like a rap song from the 90s. I'm just going to keep shouting out, yo, Curtis Walker in the house.
Oh, God.
Anyways, let's throw back to iTalk Movies. Lee!
Yes?
So how was it being in Middletown, stuck with us for 20 days?
If I wasn't there with all you guys, it would have been very challenging to try and, like, mentally survive. Yeah, oh my God. Well, that's my first Cracker Barrel experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Also my second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I loved it.
Was that your first time ever in Ohio?
Yeah, it was my first
time in Ohio. What was your thoughts on that?
Well, I knew that when we got there that this isn't going to be all of Ohio.
Okay.
I knew it was called Middletown. So I knew that it was going to be a very small...
Mm-hmm. You're prepared.
Yeah, I was prepared for that.
So you didn't just blanket think
no,
that that's
I
Ohio.
That
kind of like son-in-law blanket just thinks the Midwest is all hillbillies and farming.
I've got friends from Ohio that grew up in... I couldn't tell you now, but maybe Columbus.
One of those
cities. Maybe Columbus. Yeah. Another friend from Wapakoneta.
Did we go to Columbus one night?
No, we went to Dayton.
We went to Dayton, that's right.
That was fun.
Yeah,
and there were cops everywhere.
Somebody got stabbed.
We barely missed that.
The audience context, we were at this dance club just drinking and having a great time.
It was a great
and
upstairs
we
party.
We left because it started getting a little crowded, and then we go to another bar, and when we come out, there's like 10 cop cars, and apparently that's someone was stabbed.
So we,
because we on made the dance floor.
Remember, we made the joke when we walked in, and they were like, they were patting us down. I was like, "What? We're in middle of the
day." And there was no one at the bar at that time. And then once it started getting busier, we were like, "Let's get out of here." Yeah.
People get shot.
And apparently, yeah, Dayton is actually one of the most dangerous cities to be in. So
there you go.
Straight
You're
out
welcome.
Of straight
we
out
took
of Dayton.
You
now,
little
welcome.
Australian bud.
Where's
Dayton.
The what's the craziest thing you've had to do on a set yet? Like
craziest, I, craziest
like,
how?
What's, like the weirdest thing they've asked you to do? Because I don't think we asked you to do anything too crazy on ours, other than maybe get attacked by a guy with a clown mask, which we won't spoil anything.
I would say the most fun thing I got asked to do was I got to ride a horse, but it was like this Western Towns, a short movie, and I went for a couple of days before, and they taught me how to ride, and I'd always wanted to, you know, and they had this town built, this old Western town, and so we're getting shot at, and we're like galloping away. Me and my brother are like escaping this town, right? And we were doing it, and they were like, "Okay, yeah, that's great, Lee. Let's do it again. This time, just don't smile so much." Because I just had this massive grin on my face.
Super...
Like, remember, they're trying to kill you.
You're like a little kid on a pony.
Riding this horse is so. This
I just
horse
felt like
so
such
fun.
A badass. Yeah, exactly.
Now, did you have your Australian accent in that, or did you have a Southern accent?
Like a Southern thing.
Do your Southern. What's your Southern?
No, I don't think so.
Do an American for him.
Oh man, you could have warned me. I would have got a little warmed up. What? Give me some sentences. Ask me a question.
Yeah. How'd you like Ohio?
Middletown. It was great. I had a great time.
It's good.
We went to Cincinnati. Went to the casino.
Fucking hate Australians for that. They're so good.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, you can flip into an American. I don't really hate
immediately.
You.
Immediately.
I'm just jealous. Because Australians, like, that sounded... When he first came into casting, we thought you were American.
Oh, I had no idea.
And then when you came back from the callback, you're like, "All right, yeah, I'm really excited to be here, mate."
Yeah, I can bring it out now.
And we're
they
like
me.
What?
And but then they tried to fire me, but it was too late.
They tried to fire you. See, that's the difference, though. And now, do you think it's because you grow up on American TV? Is that why
probably.
It was so easy?
I think so. I think
I try and do Australian, and
it's
it just
so
sounds like Paul Hogan or the voiceover for Outback Steakhouse.
Well, yeah, that's, you don't
Outback,
you don't
Foster's,
hear it
Australian
you can really
for
do that
beer.
One, though.
Because you don't hear it often.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, 90% of what we watch in the film and TV is American. I think that helps. I also had a voice acting coach who told me once that apparently Australians, depending on just where our accent sits, it's kind of like neutral. It's easier to go off into the other way. So apparently he said, I think British people tend to have a more difficult time, which is funny because Hugh Laurie has an amazing American accent.
They always have their lips, I feel like, purse in a weird way whenever they're trying to do.
Okay.
It's still, so like Christian Bale.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like it's sort of.
Maybe that's just a choice, though, for Christian Bale.
We must have friends.
Because sometimes there's certain actors that were like, what? He's British or she's British?
Yeah,
and
totally.
You never know.
I can tell that Lauren Cohen, even though I love her on The Walking Dead, I can tell she's British just by how she kind of talks with her accent.
Oh yeah,
But I don't think Andrew Lincoln.
No,
he's dropped it in to a point where I'm like, I don't even remember what he sounds like.
Is that Rick? Is that the main dude?
Yeah, Rick Carl.
That's right,
Carl. Anyways, I get
off topic.
We're talking about son-in-law today.
It's Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. This movie, in case you didn't know, takes place over Thanksgiving break. And it is a classic. I saw it when I was a kid, but I want to know, Lee, when did you first see it?
Yesterday. Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
What's your opinion of it being Australian? And I assume that there's some cultural differences where this... Because this is a very specific comedy, where this comedy, I feel like... I don't know how our... Jonathan, I don't know how our audience feels. I'd love to know how our audience feels about this movie, but... I loved it as a kid, and I went into it thinking last night when we watched it that I would hate it, and I ended up still finding it really, really funny for some weird reason.
Well, you remembered, you remembered that time.
It's like a time capsule of the 90s in this
but
specific pocket.
But the jokes
pocket.
Really worked still.
For
the,
us. But I
feel
know,
like they
I want to know for you, though, how that felt.
It worked for me now, but I know I've lived in California for 5 years.
You know California.
Right, so a lot of the jokes are geared towards... the rest of America's idea of California in the 90s and people in California.
This is definitely not what California is.
But even though it is in the 90s, I feel like that's some people's idea still of
probably.
California.
Yeah,
because
when
we go back to visit Ben's family in North Carolina, we're still looked at like we're
Pauly Shore is every Midwesterner's nightmare of what California is. And that's why it's so funny to me, because he is... the most extreme version of a Californian on the planet.
Right.
His chicken quote, which... why don't we just do the chicken quote real quick? You guys have chickens? There we go. Yeah. This is an
original
example.
Original recipe.
Chickens. You guys have chickens? Oh, I love chickens. Are they extra crispy original recipe?
What? He has no filter.
I want him to come back with us when we go back to the Midwest
again. When he first
again.
Shows up, he starts pretending to surf the dirt. It's like...
I was having trouble with that, yeah.
They crammed every Californian cliche you can imagine into one character. But yeah. So now it's kind of... It's still kind of funny to you, or...?
I did have moments. I sat down like, I'm going to enjoy this. And yeah. I did. And there were parts I caught myself being like, oh, like invested in the story. And being like, oh, that, no, don't do that. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so into this right now. But yeah, the good first maybe 30 minutes, I was like, okay, come on. Like, I was kind of through it because it was...
What was
tough? Of the time.
What was it that...
Just how annoying he was.
Okay.
Like he was... so much and so intense. I was having trouble like believing him as a real human,
which is so funny because my opinion, I can see how somebody, an outsider's view of it, I guess we're all outsiders, none of us are Pauly Shore, but like viewing it and thinking he's not a real human, but for me seeing other Pauly Shore movies,
and that's the same dude,
I feel like this is the most Pauly Shore has ever been, where he's just unleashed. And the reason I think we were cracking up so much last night is that it seemed like he was just being his unfiltered self,
right?
Which seems like not human because
Pauly Shore's...
he wouldn't
do that in front of everyone. You know what I mean? Like he wouldn't act that way.
I agree that they should have pulled him back a little bit here.
You could just tell though that he was having such a good time, and it almost like the camera lingered too long where they should have yelled cut, where you could just see him smile.
He pulls a Jimmy Fallon like six times in the movie.
I'm pretty
where
sure it's not easy to be an RA too, right? I think you got to meet some standards and stuff. So like the fact that he was the resident advisor, I was kind of like, hey, how's he getting away with this?
I feel like by movie standards, the resident advisors are always the biggest pothead, morons.
Yeah.
Like in movies, the RAs are never responsible.
Right.
They're always Van Wilder and Crawl.
Those are the only
two RAs that have ever existed
RAs
in cinema.
In movie. Yes, absolutely.
But I eventually started to like him.
Mm-hmm.
When he started impacting the
family.
What
about your trauma, though, when you were a kid? You said you saw you saw part of this when you were a kid.
Yeah,
I don't want to bring dark stuff.
No, it's okay. It's
okay.
The cover always... I always saw, like, whether it was on, you know, the internet or wherever, or just walking in the video store, seeing it, whatever, I always had this thought of, like, oh, yeah, I think I've seen that movie as a kid, because I had this kind of vivid memory of seeing the scene where... they get caught in the barn
with Kelly Kapowski and Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Right. Okay.
I'm gonna.
Very sexy. Both ladies,
we'll
actually.
Get to that.
Very good looking.
And I remember feeling like kind of sick in my stomach. I must have been really little, and I've been like, oh no. And then getting in trouble and the cheating on the girlfriend, the regret and all that kind of stuff. I remember kind of having a kind of reaction to that and feeling kind of sick about it. And then I started watching this movie. I was like, oh, that's not that memory. That mustn't be that. And then when it gets to that part of the movie, I kind of had this like little...
post-traumatic stress from Son-in-Law.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, whoa, whoa. But then it kind of helped it go away when I realized it wasn't as intense as I remembered it. I was like, ah, it's fine. It's actually really swept under the rug.
It's like innocent, but also not innocent at all. Because they're both
really
like,
intense.
They wake up and they're like, what happened? And, as a kid, you don't really know like what pills they had. You're just like, oh, they probably had some kind of weird prescription pill. Oh. I mean, when I watched it, I was a kid, so I didn't understand that, but now knowing like, no, that's a date rape drug that they put like 12 in there.
We'll get to that part with the date when ex-boyfriend becomes date rapey McGee with his hillbilly friend.
Oh my god.
And his hillbilly friend thinks it's hilarious. So that's a huge ridiculous.
Sure.
We're gonna get to that. But now I think, can we put 3 minutes on the clock?
Oh, gosh.
So here's how this works. Renee, you know this. Lee, you're gonna find out. We're gonna try and do the plot in under 3 minutes.
Okay.
And we'll start. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Renee will start. It'll go to you, and then it'll come to me, then we'll keep bouncing back.
But
and then I'll
just
probably
start with like a scene or something, right?
The beginning.
Do I continue the whole thing?
You can continue until you want to pass it off.
Oh,
that's fine.
I was just going to do like
the whole thing.
I'll just
like,
do one scene.
Yeah, there's Renee does the entire thing. No, I'll cut you off, or you can keep going.
Why can't I remember? Not Sally, Jessie Raphael. What's her name?
Oh, God. What is her name in it?
Why can't I remember?
She's a college co-ed. Her name
is... It's very, like, simple down... that's the joke that Pauly Shore says. Don't we have one of the clips of her name?
Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll figure it out. Just call her Carla for now.
Carla Gugina.
Call her that. There we go. And ready in five... Wait, five, four, three, two, One, take it away, Renee.
Okay, Carla is this little Midwestern girl, and she's at her graduation for high school, and you see Tiffany Amber
Thiessen
sitting
30.
There. And then, yeah, no, she doesn't.
25.
She looks really young.
25.
I think she looks really young. And then you see Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who plays Kelly Kapowski on the great show, Saved by the Bell. They're both sitting there, and you're like, ooh, are they in love? I don't know what's happening.
That's what
she's so then she's graduating, and then they all throw their hats, and then she's at her home, and you see her whole family, and her family's kind of silly, and there's all the stereotypical, like the grandpa who's really sweet and carving old wood.
Still a first thing.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, sorry.
30
and
seconds.
Then,
we've only covered a minute. Oh, okay, and then she's going to college in California. She gets to California, and already there's traffic. The dad's pissed. They get in there. She has a lesbian roommate.
Yes.
There's the RA is introduced by hanging upside down with his reindeer slippers on, and his name's Crawl. What's up, buddy?
Crawl,
hey, don't leave me hanging, dude. And then they leave. They're like, this is really weird. And then Crawl comes in, creeping up like a porn director with his video camera, like,
definitely.
Oh, fresh meat, chicken teriyaki, buddy. And then they become friends.
Hurry.
There's a big party that happens. He comes in with like melons on.
That's right.
Then they start to become friends. They go on a montage.
And they go. He takes her to like she wants to leave, and he's like, no, you don't want it. You want to assimilate to California and get really into it. So he takes him on that nice, gets new clothes, a tattoo, a wig, gets a haircut, the whole thing. And now all of a sudden she's so LA and so California.
Super LA, real quick.
She's just like, woo, I love this. And then we're going back.
Takes
and then
one
the
day.
The boyfriend calls. He's like, hey, I still love you. And she's like, what? Who are you again? Oh crap, that's right. Ah shit. All right, well, I'm going home for Thanksgiving. I'll see you in a minute. There's way cooler shit happening right now. See you later. Hangs up. And then she's like, oh crap, I'm going back. And crawls has nowhere to go. She's like, come with me. We're going back to Ohio. South Dakota. That's right. It looks like a private jet. I don't know why, but they fly back on a private jet.
Yeah.
They get out of the plane, and he's a psycho, and the parents immediately flip out and like, who is this weirdo? I thought it was a girl. What's going on?
So the parents are really like, why did you bring this guy? This is so weird. But she's like, no, he's my friend. It's all good. He's changed me.
He
made me a better. So then the ex is there, and he's all confused, and he takes her to the barn. He steps in cow shit. He's like, why are you with this guy? And she's like, he's just my friend. He didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving. He's like, okay. So then they all go to, and then he's about to propose, and she's like, oh God, this is scary. So she runs to Crawl. Crawl's hanging out with her brother. They're talking about porn or something. Computer hacking too. And then she's like, oh my God, he just tried to propose. We need to think of something. He's like, what are you talking about? So then they get ready. They go out to dinner. And then he's like, and then they go to dinner, and then he's gonna propose again. And Crawl, she steps on his foot, and she's like, do something, Crawl! He stands up.
He's like, yeah, we're engaged.
We're already engaged. And then they're like, what? The whole family freaks out.
So now he has to pretend that they're engaged, and he has to try and assimilate to the family, and he gets to be a farmhand, and he goes around, and he learns really quickly how to do everything, because he has that Crawl spirit.
Yeah.
And he kind of warms up to the family. Carla's mama got her groove back.
That's
when he teaches her.
Uh-huh.
He does a makeover for her.
Saves
the family.
They're like the gay best friend.
Yeah, saving the marriage of her parents and everything like that. Then eventually they start to fall for each other. And then there's the date rape scene. And then they realize that the boyfriend and the hillbilly were all in on it. And they get kicked out. And then they're all happy family. And they take a big photo at the end. And they're like, yeah, Crawl's the best.
Everyone say cheesy.
Yay!
There you go. Okay, so it always gets. Oh God,
wow.
that went off the rails.
I was too specific in the beginning.
I know. Renee wasted the first 40
I started,
seconds
like,
on
in the opening scene.
So they're at this college graduation. They're all wearing blue and gold.
I'm pretty sure
and
it's
there's,
like
there's 40
the boyfriend, then the friend, and then Sally and
pretty,
then Steve, and they're sitting next to each other. And
you can
sure
tell there's something going on.
There's 62
you
students.
Have to set that up.
62 students, not 61. You got all Rain Man on me. Oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah,
that was
62,
amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the plot of Son-in-Law. And
I really liked it. I just have to say that.
And I had
as
a blast.
As a kid watching it, I remember really liking the movie as a kid, but you know, it's the 90s, and so then when you're like, we're gonna watch this, I'm like, oh God, here we go, here's another Leprechaun. And then we put it in, and I was so excited.
It was really
fun. We were cracking up. I think there's jokes that still work.
I laughed out loud at the turkey. When like, he gives the turkey a heart attack and they think he killed it, and then they yanks the feathers out, and that designer flips out. I actually cracked up.
Which, by the way, for the context of that audience, if you haven't seen Son-in-Law in a while, he goes, the whatever the guy's name is who's the farmhand makes him go in there with a butcher knife. And he goes, well, kill him then. And he starts, he's like, ah, turkey, come back, you what, bro? And then
he starts chasing him around.
And then he goes, oh, and the turkey just drops.
Dies.
Just faints.
What do you think it does?
And you're like, what? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because
it had a heart attack from Pauly Shore's Crawl's really weird howl.
But they set it up because the grandpa has almost a mini heart. Do you think he's having a heart attack?
So there's something
so
with the decibel of Crawl's voice.
Right. That's
that kills people and also brings them back to life.
That could be another movie. They could have done that for Son-in-Law too.
By the way, my favorite moment of this movie is the Link cameo from Encino Man.
Oh, that's
Brendan
Fraser. Yeah, and he's like, yeah.
There's a scene in this at the Halloween party where Brendan Fraser is clearly Link from Encino Man.
Yeah, eats the frog.
And he's like, and he takes the frog, lights it, and then bites the head off. And then Pauly Shore looks at him and is like,
what?
No, nah, yeah. Couldn't be. And it lingers on him forever as he's like, huh? No, man.
I got a question. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they just make him... I would love this to be a real sequel to Encino Man.
Well, I was wondering that because he's the same dude. He's just in college now. Like, Kroll, I mean. Because like, yeah. I went and watched some of the stuff from Encino Man. It's like, whoa, he's literally... He dresses the same. He actually... Yeah. Everything about it's the same.
Kind of Hollywood, you know how they love to, like, typecast. And they that character is perfect. Let's put it in every... I mean, if you watch a lot of his movies, Biodome is very similar.
Well, no, I think what it is that... Encino Man was so popular, they threw that in as like a little,
almost work.
Yeah, it could. Because it's almost, what was that? There's another movie that's like an indirect sequel. I'm not going to remember now. That's fine. But,
Funhouse 2.
Yeah. Funhouse 2. Hashtag brain fart just happened for me. But no, the Link cameo was really great. Yeah, for me, I'm trying to think of one of the earlier sound clips. This is one of my favorites where Pauly Shore is saying how he used to be a nerd. He shows Carla Gugino's character, which, Jonathan, if you can look up her name, that'll help my life.
Isn't it like Karen? It's something really... with a K, I thought.
She's in everything.
She's in... No, I know Carla is her real name.
Yeah.
But so... first off, actually, let's say how creepy Crawl comes into the place. There's a clip where it's like creepy Crawl or video Crawl or something like that. Let me see the clips up there, Jonathan. Sorry, I'm asking you to do 17 things at once.
Oh, you have a daughter.
Wait. First off, he's introduced by Don't Leave Me Hanging. Charisma. That's my favorite.
Don't leave me hanging!
Oh, Pauly Shore. How he's introduced to the father, is he's hanging upside down, like we said, by his reindeer slippers.
But he's so nice still.
He's super friendly.
And I love that, like, even though it's supposed to be a very, like, hippie room, he's just hanging. He's not, like, smoking pot. He's not drinking. He's just
They never show him smoke pot or drink
anything. Yeah, he doesn't do anything illegal. He's just literally hanging, and the dad is so taken aback. Like, what is this California man doing? Yeah. Like, he could just be working out.
My name's Crawl.
He's in that, like, the stirrup.
Yeah, things. I know, but I think anybody would be weirded out by
everything in the room is pretty psychedelic,
Everything's
too.
Everything's super weird.
Everything's
just
true.
It was probably because it's PG-13, and at the time, there was some kind of
MPAA. Her name's Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Way off. I was way off.
So, Jonathan, can you play Charisma next? Before you play this, Pauly Shore, my biggest problem I had is that he's so lovable later on, but he's introduced as the creepiest man alive, where he comes down with this old school VHS camera and he's like, ooh, what's up, ladies? Yeah. And he's like, ooh, fresh. He goes like, fresh meat. And he's just like such a pervy little weirdo. And here's the Charisma clip when he meets Rebecca.
Undiscovered country.
That alone.
The close up. Show me love. And cut. You have got charisma.
It is so off his character, though, because the rest of the time, I mean, he does check out girls throughout the movie, but that's the only thing he does.
Question. So, Renee.
Yes.
Let's say at the bar where we met at a karaoke bar at Sardo's.
Very classy.
We met at Sardo's karaoke bar.
Okay.
And they have porn star karaoke there. We didn't meet on that night.
No, we did not.
But you could be confused. Let's say you're sitting there with your friend Courtney at the time.
Yes.
You're drinking your drink.
Mm-hmm.
I come up, instead of the way I came up, saying hello.
Right. Hello, I'm a gentleman.
Instead, I come up and I say,
Rizma!
Nope. How about the whole clip?
Undiscovered country.
And it almost sounds like something else.
No, I was about to get to that.
Show me love.
It's definitely a double entendre.
I think so.
They did it on purpose.
You have got charisma.
What would you have said?
Married you straight away, probably.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I am having a conversation with my friend. If you'd excuse us. Thank you.
But then I go, undiscovered country.
We probably wouldn't be married.
It's disgusting. It's clearly a double entendre. They snuck in there.
Clearly a double entendre.
Yeah, it's gross.
And then he says chicken teriyaki, too, I believe I have up there, don't I? Chicken teriyaki. Something about teriyaki.
Prime USDA choice teriyaki.
That's how he leaves her, by the way. So he intros himself to her, but going undiscovered territory, and ends his first meeting with her with what?
Prime USDA choice teriyaki.
Which is just such a weird thing, because then they become really good friends
But then immediately sees another girl and says he drops the same line and walks out. Yeah. It's like he's the worst.
You have charisma.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because I don't know. You know I used to love Panda Express. all the time. I used to eat it when I in college. I used to go to Panda Express all the time.
And
when they first introduced chicken teriyaki there,
are they sponsoring? Is that what you're
giving a
shout out?
I was so excited. I was so excited that I looked at the person scooping out the chicken teriyaki, and I said, "I want double of that because that is
prime USDA choice teriyaki."
They looked at me very creeped out.
Yeah, very creeped out. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I warned you. We do that with sound clips.
As you were doing it, I remembered. I was like, I've seen videos before. I was like, okay, here we go.
I love it when we have guests on and I forget to remind. I forget to say, oh yeah, by the way, we throw people under the bus. Yeah.
I almost forgot what you were doing.
And do you have anything with the? It's very hard. It's very specific.
The chicken teriyaki one is very specific. You have to just talk about food.
That's right. We can just leave it.
Or women, which I don't feel like doing that. Lee.
I'm looking at the
creepiest thing ever. Then there's where's the something. Okay, so then now we're just going through the escalation of creepy and then to lovely. He becomes a lovely human being. A very just not a lovely human being, but he becomes he plows his way into our hearts too by the end of the movie.
He definitely
does. But he starts off as a perv ball, and this is another example. I just want
to
keep on this track.
Is he supposed to change? Like, is it he's growing?
His arc. He has a huge arc.
He grows from being like total loving women to like making a family happy.
I don't. Well, say what you told me last night when you were watching it, though. That there's never really any sexual tension between the two of them.
It's basically like he's the gay best friend.
He is, and then he goes to kiss her, and then when she's like wants the kiss back, I'm like, that's weird. Remember that part?
Right?
I was like, where'd this come from? It's so weird.
It wasn't necessary at all.
I didn't want them to. I was like, oh, they're gonna get together now. That's weird. I don't want that to happen.
No, you don't.
And then she gets mad though.
Yeah.
She gets mad. And you're like, I don't understand.
Wait, she gets mad because they're found in the barn with Tiffany Amber.
I know, but that's what I don't understand. Because he already set it up. Where they're in the dressing room and he meets her and he's like, introduce me, or he says something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, like, obviously he already
knows. Hey, give me that hot nug over there. He calls all girls nugs. That's
grindage.
Some tasty nugs. Gonna munch on some grindage.
Oh my God.
Oh, in that context, that quote is even weirder.
Yeah.
Munch on some grindage.
Oh gosh.
Buddy. But so this is another clip where the clip is something just came up where they're on the beach. And this is when they're bonding, and she's gotten her really weird red hair.
Pretty Woman happened, and she became total California girl.
Which, by the way, I love the cliches of California they have, where
they're rollerblading.
I've never been to a salon or barbershop in California where they cut
just a big chunk.
Where,
of,
by the way, the most racist Native American cameo ever, where they cut off a giant ponytail and then go.
Yeah.
Like a Native American who just scalped a pilgrim.
Oh,
that was its reference to Thanksgiving.
That's how it's fixed.
That's the most racist point of this entire movie.
If you just do that.
I fell off the couch when that happened. I was laughing so hard because it comes out of nowhere.
It really does. And then it fades out, too.
It
fades into the next scene. I'm like, what? They just, like, skipped over that?
Yep, they just
And then I
don't even
she wanted that girl's
it.
Hair, but her hair is really orange
her
instead
hair's terrible.
Of blonde.
Really, yeah.
Because Carla Gugino is beautiful.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
And she's brunette. Very, very attractive. Then the red hair, really weird.
It wasn't red, but it also wasn't blonde. It was like trying to, when you, as
a
female.
It's like a rotted pumpkin orange.
When you go to color your hair, it takes a process. So it's literally, they did like one process of
It's like they were rushing into filming and they're like, shit.
Let's just do a quick bleach. It'll be, it's turning orange. Okay, we'll
just
leave it.
Maybe they did it on purpose. Maybe she was supposed to be that young college girl. Like, let's just do something crazy real quick and get my hair done and the tattoo. And maybe that was all part of it, the bad hair job, you know?
She comes off the plane like a she looks like a prostitute.
She does.
And it took no time,
she gets
though.
The reverse Pretty Woman, where Pretty Woman becomes pretty. She goes from being like wholesome to looking like a prostitute.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Well,
she looks.
Yeah, actually, that is kind of true.
You can see her bra through the mesh top.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like it's supposed to be she's just more like
free. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. Like. Much of that is.
I like how the dad doesn't even recognize her at all. Like with the plane,
no.
He's like looking at her mom. The mom's just like, "Is that her?" He's like, "Huh?" And he's like looking back over here. It's like that's clearly her.
Daughter.
She's like, "Oh my god!"
But the last thing of the creepy before he becomes before he redeems himself at the party is the something just popped up. He's on the beach. He has binoculars and he's just scoping out girls with Rebecca. And this is what he says.
Wow, she is fantastic.
Hey.
Oh. touch me. Touch me. Hey, over here. Some just came up.
Can we also talk about that right before that when he pulls the beer out of the thing and drops it into
on
her crutch and then he's like grabs it and she's like, hey, she's like, hey, what?
Did you like it?
Yeah, something like that. I was like, whoa, yeah, I forgot about that too.
Yeah.
That's why
So he's his friend, but he kind of oversteps, which mean, we all kind of have friends.
We all
names, but we all have friends who say things that are very inappropriate and you're like,
I feel like it's always dudes that I don't know any. I've never had a girlfriend. Have you? Not like that I dated, but like a girl who's a friend who's weird and like, hey, what's up? I'm gonna be flirty. Oh, of course, I never had a girl that was a friend who talked like Pauly Shore. But I feel like it's something specifically with dudes where like if they're friends with single girls, they'll. I think what it is. And this is coming from me being, like, the most nervous man around women at all, so I'm just surmising this. I haven't used that word in, like, 17 years since word power in English. But no, I'm just kind of deducing the fact that it would be...
Now he's bringing out that
it would be
too.
I'm just going to keep bringing up smart
words.
You're
so clever, dude.
Hashtag smart, clever words. I think it's just that they're trying to kind of, like, feel their way in, like, maybe this is going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Just trying to I always just talked about their ex-boyfriends and, like, was a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, you went the friend route.
I went the friend route.
Other guys go, like, the, hey, you want to have sex today? Okay, I'll try
just
tomorrow.
I'm your friend, but I will not be your friend later.
Just kidding, unless you want to. Yeah. I mean,
it's a Nelly song, which isn't.
Man, if I could go back and tell teenage Ben.
Oh, jeez. So many things you could go back and tell.
So many things. That's all right.
But I find it very interesting that, like, so she wants to leave, and he's like, let me show you the ways of California, which you're like, okay, that makes sense.
Cool.
She hasn't really seen California, but all she sees is a store, a salon, and she blades in Venice.
Oh, the tattoo parlor.
And the tattoo parlor.
With the creepiest tattoo parlor ever, where he says, you pick, it's the M.
You pick it, and I stick it.
Clip M.
Which, is that the same for tattoo artists?
There we go.
Pick it, I stick it.
It's weird, because...
That's Flea, right?
Yeah, that's Flea.
Flea.
I would be very concerned I'm getting Hep C from this tattoo artist. I mean, it seems like they don't really...
Yeah.
There's no sanitation
there. I don't think that's really a saying. You pick it, I stick it.
No,
I feel
it
like
is.
That could work.
It is. In gymnastics. Yeah, actually...
stick it in your and you land it really well.
Yeah, what they...
In
you were a gymnast. Yeah,
at one point. Of sorts,
yeah. I mean, I took gymnastics for like a week. But I remember my coach...
You majored in gymnastics
for like one semester, bro. My coach would say, you know, if there was a play, I could hit something if somebody else picked it for me.
Okay.
Right. So my phrase as a kid was always in gymnastics.
For that week.
You pick it, I stick it.
My coach was always very proud of me because they picked the spot and I would stick it.
You did it again, and it wasn't until right at the end that I realized you were doing that shit. I was like, dude, what the hell? This dude's done this whole
thing.
I never did gymnastics.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just terrified that I'm going to say something and then it's not going to be clear what clip. It's just going to be something random. Be like, oh, that sucks.
That would be actually really funny is if you're trying to say that you pick it and stick it and then he changes it on his side.
That's the worst thing you can have. I was a best man. No, I can't say that because then if I implicate somebody.
I realized
there was going to be a fictional story, but I could implicate my friend, so never mind.
Yeah,
I was going to do something at a strip club with you pick it, I stick it, and that's just too on the nose.
Yeah,
you got something?
Well, no, but I was going to say something with a guy.
Do it.
Well, no.
Who
because
cares?
That would
just go.
Just with the strip club.
Just go.
No, well, you guys, I have to tell you something. I used to have an addiction.
Oh, man.
I used to have an addiction, and
I used to
do a lot of heroin.
This got weird.
Okay.
It was really, really. It was a dark time for me.
It's dark time for
everyone. Might be the darkest improv. Yeah.
And when I went to the dealer one time, and I was shaking,
I was convulsing,
and there was a row of needles, and he said to me,
"You pick it."
Man, I'm wishing I had just let you slide and not do that one.
Like, that wasn't the one, but I was going to say something about like a guy.
That wasn't that wasn't an improv, by the way.
I was really just
for the record,
coming
guys. she came clean a while ago. Oh, sorry to all my heroin addict fans out there.
I don't think they're watching. It's all right.
Wasn't there an old toy that you would call the stick it or the flip it that you would skip it. If only the clip said you pick it, I skip
one.
It.
Bop it.
Well, you had to twist it, stick it, bop it. That thing that had.
Bop it did your hair, right?
No.
What's the thing with your hair?
Wait, where you put it on your ankle?
You're thinking of
the skip it, right?
Yes, God.
Skippo.
Skip-O? I think it's Skip-O.
Skip-O is a card game.
Bop-It is the toy. Skip-O is the card game.
Yeah, Skip-O is the
card game. No, no, no. Look it up. There's something called Skip-It
where you put it against your foot.
Where you have to have an abnormally small foot to get it in there, and then you swing it around and skip over it.
Which was such a genius way to, like, have your kids get rid of energy back in the day.
And also, they had no siblings or friends.
Because it had a meter.
For only children everywhere. Just skip in place.
How many times you went, so you're just sitting there, skipping.
It was the original Fitbit.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It's the original Fitbit store from Skip It.
I want to skip it for Christmas. Yeah, like it'd be so good.
All right, you heard it here.
I'm going to sit in our workout room and just skip it. But I can only do it on one foot. You can't do the opposite.
Yeah. Almost,
you know what I mean?
Is one of your legs more developed than the other? I'm picturing like a generation of kids who just have one.
No, but I see what you mean. I can only skip it with my right foot.
I only know how to skip with my right foot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
How would you do it? Anyways,
this is so crawl of us. This is so crawl of us.
So off topic.
Skippage, buddy. So, here's the thing. So then we've gotten to the point now where
he changed her.
But one of my favorite quotes is where he shows her a picture and of him how he used to be really.
That's right.
And she's like, she's not very nice about
not
it.
At
she's
all.
Like, you were such a nerd.
And you can tell it's one of his old headshots, right?
one of his old headshots
back in the 90s.
It's got to be like his old like commercial headshot, like Pauly Shore's.
I thought he looked cute. He just looked very academic.
He looked very much like Harold Ramis on Ghostbusters.
He
looked like he could have played the TV
That's
version
his dad
of Ghostbusters,
in real life, isn't he?
No.
Oh, okay.
But so there's where is it? The drop the dew, guzzled some brew.
One.
Yeah. So this is how he. She's like, how'd you change? And he explains what he did to become the cool crawl that he is now, from Frank or whatever his name was.
Becca, I tossed the spectacles, grew the dew, guzzled some brew.
Wow. It's musical how he said that, isn't it?
Guys, just so you know, if you ever want to be cool, you just toss the spectacles, drop the dew, and guzzle some brew.
Grow the dew,
and guzzle some brew.
You gotta learn how to say it first.
So you grow out your hair and just drink a lot, and you become this fine specimen that is Crawl, who at the moment is dressed up like a banana boat woman with like the whipped cream bra and
like a carnival kind of.
I liked that for being in California, like, it showed already, like, she has the lesbian roommate who never comes back.
They never come back. Yeah. You think that they're going to be a main character.
You have a guy who's a total hippie, fun-loving, dressed as a woman. Like, these would definitely be things in the 90s in the Midwest where it would be like, what?
Yeah.
People are weirded out. And they're pushing it in the son-in-law.
They do push the limits. And I do wish, I think that, dare I say, this movie could be remade.
I don't know, though. It's pretty, like,
No. I mean, if it were to be made now, the only way this would work is if he was the gay best friend. And that would be awesome, because I feel like he does the, like we talked about, he does the makeover, and he's like, you're nasty, girlfriend.
He pretty much is the gay best friend, only they didn't want to go that far with it, I feel like. They were like, I don't think the studios will like it. Let's just make him very,
I mean, they push it as far as they, Smurf-like.
Smurf-like, that's what they wrote for the breakdown when they were casting the role.
There's only one woman in Smurftown. There has to be some, it's like prison, but you get one girl in it.
Oh my God.
Awesome effect.
And every once in a while, Gargamel comes around. Oh, man, that got weird and awesome.
I do like one thing that they always did a callback joke of how many semesters he studied a certain thing, where he's like, I studied this, you know.
Studied karate for
two semesters. Yeah. So, like, that was, and I didn't really catch on until later in the movie, and then I wonder if I went back and watched it now, how many times he did it in the
beginning.
This
is definitely a movie that deserves repeat viewings over and over again.
That's what we're doing on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
Family, come on over.
We're going to watch Crawl and do some chickens, buddy.
Maybe Encino Man.
Maybe we should watch Encino Man
instead. So, there's so many, I want to just keep going through the plot, because there's so many sound clips I picked, but I feel like it'll take forever. The best thing is when, so then Crawl comes to the Midwest, the family's all creeped out by him, for obvious reasons, because
he's a weird freak.
He surfboards on their dirt, and makes chicken noises, and does every single thing that could possibly.
Just like no social filter whatsoever.
He doesn't even try to be.
It's even cool if he's like, is that kind of wacky dude, but to like, he just got there to meet the family, and he's just like,
this is who I am.
I think the parents would have, in real life, would have been like, oh, okay, he's a special needs. Like, you should have told us, like, okay, cool, now we understand. That's fine. All right, Crawl. Yeah, have fun. Like, yeah, you want to see the chickens? Like, yeah, cool. Like, that's probably what would have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, in real life, if somebody comes, you're just like, this person is insane. There's no...
Yeah.
That's the one thing where maybe he should have won out of several things. Maybe he should have built to the insanity, like let him.
Like he really
that might not
tried.
Have been his choice, though. It might have been like, yeah, give us more of that. Do more of the Polish Shore thing.
Yeah,
more
do
of
more
that.
Of the, I bet it's just catching some fresh waves. It's just so funny. And then like the grandpa when he mistakes him for somebody.
I have no idea what it was
wine coolers guy, someone maybe
on the label or something
like
that.
And he's
like Mike's Hard Lemonade or something. That's what I was
trying
to. That's
the first thing I ever got drunk off of was Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Mine was Zima's.
But that's the same thing. We're in the same family of shame for what we got drunk off of for the first time.
That's probably why my stomach can't handle any kind of alcohol.
Well, yeah, because you're hungover from more sugar than anything.
I never had hangovers though back then.
I hope to be young again.
Now I drink more than four drinks the next day. I'm like, ugh, oh, what did I do to myself?
Can't move.
Well, this week's a write-off. I'm just going to stay in my bed.
I'm going to watch Son-in-Law three times.
So wait, let's talk about the brother for a second.
Pauly
Shore is like trying to make friends with everyone, and he actually befriends the brother. And it's interesting the conversations that they have, because you're like, that
about
is
Playboys and
Playboys
computer hackers.
And milking the cow.
Well, that's one of my favorite science moments, where the brother's like, I can't figure out the computer. And it's one of my favorite things in 90s, specifically 90s movies, whenever they hack something, it looks like no computer I've ever seen in my life. The movie Hackers, when they're like hacking and it's like this weird like Virtual Boy landscape.
Maybe
and
that
like,
is what it looks like. You just don't know how to hack.
There's no computer ever.
No.
And whatever Pauly Shore types into
and the little lines that come together in a random blacked out circle.
I just love it's the typing. Just, the typing always sounds like super fast, you know?
Let me just hack this.
The typing of it just,
But what he says is even better when he's like, dude, how'd you figure, the brother's like, how'd you figure this out? This is when the brother bonds for the first time. The hacking quote, best hacker ever, I think is what I labeled it.
How'd you do it?
Your PC got harshed, right? Because your system heap sent the wrong parameter. So I toasted the data directory, tweaked the PRAM, and reglazed your subroutine.
None of that is real.
PRAM?
I don't know anything about computers, but I don't think there's a subroutine, and I don't think there's a PRAM.
So all of a sudden they show, like, ooh, you know, Kral is a really smart guy. He knows computer and tech, and then they never bring that back ever again.
It's just because he studied it for once.
You think, like, something's going to, like, work with that, and then...
Oh, no, because there's no connective anything in this movie.
I mean,
everything just leads to the next joke in this movie. That's it.
Except the fact that he just happens to be an awesome crop thing pilot. You know what I mean? He calls his name into the crops. And you think, like, he gets into things like, yeah, you can't be mad at me because that was awesome.
Now, was that a cameo? Because I thought it was a cameo when they show the guy, the pilot, flying the plane. And then you see the name, and obviously it was to show what they did.
Oh, no, it's not.
I thought it was like a cameo because he's listening to John Denver. But no, they do like a close-up.
Oh, that'd be amazing
if
we rewatched it and it's John Denver
and then,
in there.
I was wondering if that was going to be someone famous. Because I was like, why is this following the pilot for a while? And then they show the crawl thing. Wow. But I'm like, doesn't this guy have to be,
I don't
like,
think it's
someone?
John Denver. I think it's just that he was looking like, oh, it's crop circle. It's a crawl circle.
Hashtag
crawl circle, buddy. So then he assimilates to the family. But then the proposal scene is hilarious. We were talking about this, how... Explain how you thought it was...
Travis, right?
Travis's most awkward proposal ever from across the room.
If you're going to propose to someone that you love and you haven't seen them in, what do you say, 3 months, why would you go follow her into a barn? Don't you think you'd be like, hey, let's go take a walk.
He has three terrible proposals in this movie. The
worst proposals. And so he takes her into the barn. He steps in cow shit. She's like 6 feet away. And then he's like, hey, will you marry me? The one when he's further is when he's at the other table. So
at the big banquet for the families. And he stands up and he's like, somebody really special to me.
They're not even sitting together.
Will you marry me? And he's like... 20 feet from her and crawls next to her and she's like, and then Kral hops up and proposes, or says he already proposed.
I don't know why she was so nervous about Travis. Like, they don't really build on that either, because she's like, really loves him and Travis wants to have sex and she's like, no, I want to wait. And then she moves
Out of nowhere, he's a total asshole, if you notice. And once she moves to California, I noticed when I was dragging sound clips today, that when he picks up the phone, he's like, what is it, Teresa, or whatever Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character was. He goes, God, not again. I told you I'll be right there.
He's been cheating on her.
They insinuate in that scene that he's been cheating on her.
Like, the whole time.
Ah.
Which is so weird, well, then, that he's so adamant about proposing.
Even the graduation, like, you pick on a vibe. Because
he really wants to have sex with her. So that was the thing. Is that he just, so the bad guys.
Because he's so rich, he can just buy a ring. He's Texas oil, or South Dakota oil money.
Well, Travis, you want a girl to say yes, you have to propose at least, you know, in proximity to them.
The best proposal is the third one. After Krall and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski are found in the barn, and she's so distraught, and he's invited back haphazard for no reason to the family dinner.
No, he's not invited back.
He just invites himself.
Like, he's literally there. They wake up.
Oh, he's a sociopath. I was just thinking about it. He's literally, even the part when he like drugs her and he's like, you're so low, like, makes you feel, he's literally a sociopath.
He's the worst human being ever.
She's so like lost and confused, and like she was, she played it really well. I felt so bad for her.
This guy goes on to be a suspect on Criminal Minds SVU, or Law and Order SVU. That's what this guy should be.
Like, did he?
He's,
sure he did.
That gets so... That's something they gloss over completely. Is
yeah,
the
like,
fact
why is
that,
he... Why is he there anyways? Did he stay the night to set them up? Him and Theo set it up and he stayed there? Like, why was he there in the morning time?
That's so weird. Well, and the whole fact that, like, we're going to throw your bachelor party and nobody thinks it's weird that the ex-boyfriend who wanted to propose is throwing it.
Who
like,
they punched him in the face like 24 hours ago.
Which, by the way, oh, God, let's do the punch in the face.
Oh, so good.
Because when Pauly Shore gets punched in the face,
it's the funniest reaction.
He collapses to the ground and makes this sound. But what's even weirder later on is that he knows karate really well.
Yeah, right.
Which doesn't connect to this moment. But this moment I rewound twice because it's so funny. Ready, punch.
Oh, why did you do that?
That's so pathetic.
It goes on forever.
What I love about it, though, is like, in most movies, when someone gets punched, they get knocked out and they go back. But he, like, went forward and then like, just fell straight down.
Which is more like real life, really.
Yeah, he just does this weird kind of, like, his knees buckle out from under him and he's just like, ugh.
Like, it kind of, yeah.
And at first it's so funny, and then it lasts so long that you genuinely feel bad for him.
Because like,
he's just,
man,
like, so pathetic on the ground there.
I know.
But then again, he wasn't ready for it that time. When the karate thing happened, the guy was distracted. He stood up. He was like, bah! He did like the Rafiki from Lion King. He's like, bah, bah!
Can we hear that one more time just because I love it so much? You think it would end there? It sounds like we put it on repeat, like an auto-tune remix of it.
Yeah, loop or something.
Oh, my God, that's so funny to me.
So, yeah, Travis is a pretty
he's a sketchy human being. That's the thing, and why is Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character, she's so naive. She's like, she shows up and she's randomly the bartender at the bar and also the stripper
at the bar. And why aren't there any other women at this bar? What kind of bar does she work at? She never says it because she invites Rebecca and Krall to come when they first introduce her.
So weird.
Is she a stripper or they just get her to strip?
Well, no, she's just got it. But I mean, she becomes an impromptu stripper for her.
And she's like, I didn't even get to.
I was going to
just
dance.
Get started.
I just got started.
Just, that's
by the way. Renee probably was not happy with me during that scene because Kelly Kapowski was a huge crush for me back
smoking.
In the day.
She's gorgeous.
And when that
she's
happened, I was like,
"Both women in the movie are gorgeous. I get it." But Travis was pretty good looking. I'm not gonna
until
lie.
He gets
I mean,
all rapey.
Until he gets rapey, and then you're like, "Ooh,
you're like, oh my
it's
god."
Just, it's so funny though how like nowadays you couldn't just gloss over a plot line like that in a movie.
No,
in the night we talk about this a lot on the show. How like in the 90s. There's an innocence or just
is.
A kind of like
no one even gets up at the dinner table.
No, nobody's even
everyone just sits down and lets it all play out.
Yeah.
Like the fighting, the date raping, yeah. I thought you were engaged to my daughter but you had sex with a girl in our barn. No reaction. It's just like everyone's just like, before I get to say anything, you guys are on to the next thing. I'm just gonna let you guys keep talking and like, oh,
nobody.
Okay, cool.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Except the grandpa. Grandpa says this, after he finds out about Travis, this is the most heightened emotion the family gets to after all the really, really shady sociopathic stuff Travis has done.
I gotta tell you, Travis, it really tweaks my melon to see a buff bro like Krall here get wheezed on by a greasy scumbag like you. So you just chill.
Polish will give him a line reading for that one.
Yeah,
I think he had to.
I think so.
That's the message we give this guy. The family. You just chill. That's it.
And
that's
then,
it.
And then Tiffany Amber Thiessen, I love it. We don't know her name. She goes.
Kelly
she's,
Kapowski.
She's like, I'm going to drive him home. And then the mom's like, wait, no. We should invite her to have like, dinner
the,
with
the
us.
The fact that she was cheating on her the whole time just never gets brought. She's like, oh, we're cool. We're cool. Yeah. It's like, you and don't then know, but she's been banging.
Take a family her. Photo at the yeah. end.
Yeah. And then Jeez. Little yeah. brother is coming to scoot next to her. And she's kind of like, hi. She's not even like... weirded out by that
but,
at all.
And with if this was a romantic comedy, which you kind of feel like it is, but not really.
Right.
Because we were talking about how they build up to that kiss earlier, and then it never transpires. And then you would think that they would try and cram in some sort of romantic moment at the end, and mm-hmm. I'm so glad they didn't. Because it's so much yeah. funnier, and it's so much more realistic that it's just like, he's just a good friend.
They also learn their lesson.
No, they learn nothing.
She gets away with the whole thing.
Yeah.
She's like he, she's like, oh, and he like covers for her. He's like, oh, you know what? We're gonna figure it out. We're not gonna get married right away. Giving her the space of time, so when they go back, they can say, they can call up and say, look, we're not gonna get married anymore. It's all good, but we're all friends.
Yeah,
but that's totally bullshit. Like,
wrong
she lied.
No lesson.
They she never came clean.
She's learned she can lie to her family and get away with
there's
it from
just,
here. On
I don't
out.
Think the problem is I don't think there's any kind of arc in any of the characters.
There's no.
She's lost in the beginning,
the
and she's
one.
Just as lost. In the end, kind of, right? Because he saves her. Krall is like, you know what I mean? He's the one that stands up and he's like, no, we're gonna... And she's just like, so, what does that say for her character?
It says a lot about the perception of women in the 90s. But they need Krall to save them.
They need Pauly Shore and everything.
The dad had the biggest arc, probably.
Oh. Yeah, the dad. Totally.
Good to know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're good. We're gonna go for a few more minutes and we'll wrap it up. But the thing that's interesting to me about... God, I lost my train of thought completely.
Sorry.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about females in the 90s and meeting
Pauly
Shore.
Oh, this movie should have... whenever I lose my train of thought, I'm just going to whimper like Pauly Shore. Why did you do that?
Should be your phone
can we just pull that one part? Why did you do that? If you can pull that while I talk about other stuff. There should have been one more scene to this movie. It feels like
yes,
it just drops
absolutely.
Off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have seen like a 6 months later.
Yeah.
And that they're just best buds now. Mm. And then,
but we never finished watching the credits.
And
what
the, family,
is
and
a
the family still likes him. And they're like, hey, why don't you come back for the holidays?
Maybe
we're
there's
friends.
A post-credit scene
oh
like a
gosh,
Marvel
we
movie
we
and we missed
out.
It.
That would be...
Do you think there is?
I didn't fast forward
if
to
there
it.
Isn't, they should do it now.
They should do a director's cut.
Where are they in 2015? That would be awesome.
See, because we...
He's dead
this
somewhere.
Movie...
Oh, no.
This movie...
I love Pauly Shore.
I love Pauly Shore too. I think
no,
Encino
I meant the
Man's
character, not the oh. actor.
I
was, yeah.
I feel like he.
No,
I think he'd be like a yoga teacher.
Oh yeah,
I think he would
true.
Be like
totally.
In Silver Lake, like doing some.
He's got his own like organic.
I like this.
Yeah.
We should let's play. Where market. Is everybody
yeah,
now?
So,
where,
Krall,
so he's a yoga teacher.
He's a yoga teacher.
Travis is locked up for date rape.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They, among other things.
Among
murder and probably murdering the person.
He's going to be in Funhouse too. He'll be one of the characters.
What is okay? So what is Rebecca? What is she doing?
Rebecca.
She
I
probably graduated. What was she studying? I don't even know. English.
I think she has her own hair salon now, and she does really orange hair for everybody.
Yeah.
That's not a good ending.
Okay,
for
what
her.
Do you think then? You give Rebecca a good ending.
Oh well, I don't know. Maybe
she got struck by lightning and got some cool powers.
Maybe
and, like,
there
we
she
go.
Realized that she finally needed to start using her voice for good, and she decided to go to law school.
And then Legally Blonde.
And then
is
Jury
the sequel.
Duty.
And then that didn't work.
And then the movie Jury Duty. She's the lawyer. When Pauly Shore is in the jury.
But then she realized she wanted to like be more similar to LA and keep that thing going on, so she used her like law knowledge to become an agent and in Entourage, and then she's like, you know, the new...
Ari Gold,
yeah.
Okay.
It all tied...
All right,
who knew that Son-in-Law was the beginning of so many
brother?
Franchises?
We have to do the brother.
The brother, I think he just grows up to be a regular at strip club.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the owner of a strip club.
Didn't he grow up to be like a famous wrestler, the Great Hambino? That's what it was, right?
There you go.
I like it.
I like that much better than him being the owner of a strip club.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Coming to the stage. Anyways, yeah. Do we have that? Why did you do that? Did you pull it?
Why did you do that?
It's kind of messed up that that's your favorite thing.
So I like to sleep in a lot, and Renee always wakes up before me, and. This morning, she knew I had to do a few more things before we got here to do the podcast and everything. So I'm sleeping, I'm sound asleep, and she just takes a pillow and whacks me in the face with it. And I looked up at her and I said,
"Why did you do that?"
I did. And we could cut it after that.
Well, Ben told me last week that he was going to have Lee and I on as co-hosts since Josh McCuga isn't here today. And I just looked at him, and I was really annoyed, and I said,
why did you do that?
Because Renee hates coming on the show.
I like being here. I just thought it would work for right now.
Lee, yeah.
Look, I work with birds. I don't know if you guys know. You guys know.
Yeah.
I live with like exotic parrots, and I, you know, groom them and raise them and stuff like that. And I've been pretty lucky not to get bitten. But the other day, I got bitten on the thumb by this big macaw. And you know, you'd think being Australian, I'd be macho and very good, but I didn't. And I reacted when he bit me. I was like,
why did you do that?
I can't top you getting bitten by a big macaw. Let's see. Do we have any other sound clips that I really want to hear?
Wasn't there one with the brother?
No.
Not like a real tit?
I feel like.
I like that one. Or Buff the Wood when they're doing.
Oh,
this
Buff the Wood.
Dancing.
Oh, this is one of my favorite moments when they do a. He goes to a square dance, which you said you've always wanted to go to a square dance.
So
for our anniversary this year, I'm going to take. Yeah, you lived in Kentucky. Have you ever seen a square dance in a barn?
Never went to anything like this, and that's really disappointing.
Do you think Louisville is just anti?
I think they are. They're like, we are not like.
We're not inbreds.
We're not the South. They are totally. But it's funny because it's one state below Ohio, and Ohio's north, right? Or East Coast, even considered.
Midwest.
I don't know. They consider themselves everything, basically. Mm-hmm. But then you go
down to
Kentucky, and they're like, we're the South. And you're like, how do you have accents? You're literally one state below Ohio.
But you cross 40 minutes, suddenly it's like, hey, how you doing? Welcome to Kentucky.
Yeah.
What?
So interesting.
Where did this come from? I was just in Dayton.
So I've never done the dancing, and I really want to go. So but that would be a good date night.
Our anniversary this year is square dance. I took you to a monster truck rally one year.
It's pretty funny they stopped line dancing in Encino, man, too.
I think it's just a thing in the 90s.
Pauly Short loved.
Pauly Short just has...
like line dancing.
He has
every
in his contract.
In contract.
Line dancing.
Yeah.
So Pauly Short hops up on stage when the guy takes a break. He's like, I need to go get a drink or licorice or something. I don't know. And Pauly Short hops up and does his own version of a line dance the only way Crawl could.
Rabbana, whose cones are busty, we're gigging, make crusty.
I don't want to know what that means.
Grab your dude, don't use rough, is moving close, and groove is buff, is buff the wood. Buff the wood, come on, buff the wood.
Grab a nug whose cones are busty. Tweeze that something, make it crusty.
I don't know. I don't want to know what that means.
Everything about that.
Don't want to know.
So a nug is a girl, I guess.
A nug is a girl.
Okay, gotcha.
Cones are busty.
I figured that one.
Tweeze the something and make it crusty.
Oh, gosh.
That's gross. Ugh. That's a gross
you know what?
Thing to
I
say.
Think, I think what happened is, and Jonathan, I don't know if you're going to know what sound clip to play after this, but I think the director was pretty disgusted by that afterwards.
Oh, my God.
And he just looked at Pauly Shore, and he just looked at him with disgust and was like, why did you do that? I was trying to say,
oh,
yo.
No.
Why did you do that?
That's what the director said, and Pauly Shore was like, I'm Pauly Shore, I do whatever I want. Buddy.
I'm pretty amazed that people in the audience or, you know, that were dancing were able to follow along.
Right,
I'm like,
yeah.
What? I didn't know what the hell he was saying, but like, oh, I get it. Like, rub
buff the wood.
Buff the wood.
Buff the wood.
That is pretty hilarious.
Everyone was
loving it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think the thing right now is that most of the GMP audience is probably looking at us right now and just with scrunched up faces going...
What?
Damn it! Okay, let me try that again. Ready? So the GMP audience is probably wondering why we chose this movie... And maybe some of them are thinking right now.
Why did you do that?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Thank you, Jonathan, for no dead air there. I'll tell you why, because Pauly Shore is a comedic genius, and this is a classic of modern American cinema.
I want to see
it
come back.
I do.
Nice. Shore.
I want to cast Pauly Shore in something.
Yeah, let's put him in the next
let's
movie.
Let's put him in Funhouse 2. We have no control. But let's put.
Let's
I
pretend we have control.
I do.
He's in. You're
let's
in.
Say. Let's put a hashtag out there. Hashtag Pauly Shore comeback. I like that. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. I think he's hilarious.
I looked him up. I was like, man, that would suck because he came in. Everyone was like, dude, we love what you're doing. Keep doing. And all of a sudden, they're like, don't like
None.
It. Stop doing that. And he's like, what? That's what?
Yeah.
That's what works.
That's what Hollywood does.
That's awful.
That's what Hollywood does. And then you know, to every actor that happens to, they look at their agent afterwards, and they're very sad, because they can't figure out why this happened.
Again?
And they say,
oh.
Why did you do that?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, let's give another warm goodbye to. That sounds weird.
Another warm
Where can we find you? Where can we find you, Lee? Where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
They shouldn't
stuff?
Go looking for me. To be honest, it's a bit weird. I think keep a safe distance.
Yeah, safe distance. Yeah. So internet distance. Where can they find you from an internet distance?
I don't know.
On Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. Yeah, right. I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Do you want my address?
@LeePark_ That's my Twitter thing. Yeah.
Anything upcoming that you want to pimp out or anything like that?
No, I mean, I'm going home for the holidays, so. I'm just going to go have a good time.
There we go.
I'll see you guys when I get back.
Anyone wants to get on a 16-hour flight or something?
Yeah, if anyone wants to. There's plenty of space in Australia. I can't tell you not to go there.
Awkwardly stalk Lee. So then also Funhouse Massacre. It's out of theaters today, but it's coming back to video on demand and DVD very, very soon. We'll find out soon. Where can they find you, Renee?
@ReneeDorian on all things, social media, mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, that fun stuff. Follow me. Please don't friend me on Facebook. That is just so I can look at my cute nieces.
Now everyone.
Now everyone.
It's just for
everyone's like, she meant,
she meant
friender.
She meant
friender.
More Twitter, Instagram
Twitter
would be
Instagram.
Cool.
That's great. I'm @TheBenBegley, and we're also @SchmoesGMP, I believe. I don't know. I don't really remember. But you can follow me @TheBenBegley, and also @FunhouseMass is the Funhouse Massacre Twitter. Also, FunhouseMassacreMovie.com. We should have news very soon on a Blu-ray and DVD and video on demand release.
Oh,
we're
cool.
Very excited about that.
Yeah.
So, until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.